Hello, everybody. Welcome one, welcome all, and welcome back to the Believe in Iowa State podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Carter.
And I'm your host, Cody Van Cielo.
Cody, as you can see on the screen, this is probably, I said it last year, this is my favorite episode to do, and it's here. We're doing this a little bit earlier than usual, but hey. We're the week zero game, so everything gets moved up. So we are tonight. We are doing our schedule prediction show. So with that being said, we're about to hop right into it, man. All right. So we have Farmageddon on the 23rd, Aviva Stadium in Ireland. I believe most of the times for the games have been confirmed. At least for the first four games have been confirmed. But 11 a.m. ESPN, August 23rd, K-State, what do you think?
Yeah, this is definitely going to be the test for Iowa State, and obviously having it in their first game is going to really challenge the Cyclones to see how far they've gone since obviously losing their top wide receivers in Jalen Nolan and Jaden Higgins to see where they're standing at. And also, this is an early Big 12 conference like heavyweight bout because you have two of the perceived favorites of the Big 12 in Kansas State and Iowa State, and Kansas State is touted to be one of the favorites to win the conference.
Yeah, definitely, Cody. I think one of the main reasons why Kansas State is a 3.5 point favorite, because I really think that everybody is chalking Iowa State's success up to Higgins and Knoll, which, yes, they were a lot of the success, but, you know, there were still a lot of other, you know, weapons on the offensive side, as you know. And I also think that an X factor in this game is definitely going to be Ben Bramer. The use of the tight ends game, tight ends in this game is going to be crucial. I also think the run game will be better, and defensively, I think we'll see an improvement in that and an improvement in the run defense. So do you have any score predictions for this game?
I think like the last few Farmageddons that we've seen between these two, it's going to come down to who makes crucial plays. And, I mean, we saw last year Rocco Beck with two huge game-winning drives against UCF and Miami in the Pop-Tarts Bowl. So we know that Rocco brings it. Avery Johnson, I feel like I didn't see the same type of clutch ability. And obviously, Avery Johnson's touted to be a better quarterback than Rocco Beck. But when it comes to crunch time and really can you win the game in the last few moments, Rocco Beck has shown to be that type of quarterback. And that's the kind of difference maker you need to win a heated rivalry like Farmageddon. So I think Iowa State will find a way to win this game. I'm expecting a 35-31 game.
The turnover margin and then making big plays and playing a complete game too. I mean, we've been last year, offense, defense, special teams. We have had the special teams advantage the last few games in this series. So yeah, I think it's gonna end in a dramatic way like it always does. I think what I think is going to happen is Rocco's going to lead us down to a game-winning drive. We go up 28-24. K-State goes down the field, and then Tez picks it off to seal the game. Iowa State heads out of Dublin and gets a 28-24 win. So we both are starting off with the Cyclones at 1-0.
Okay, so I think my thought here with Rocco right. Beck, we mentioned Rocco Beck. The one thing I do want to see.
Yeah.
The big thing I do want to see out of Rocco Beck is can he limit those interceptions that turn into pick sixes? Because that was one of the things that kind of hampered Rocco Beck.
Yeah.
So if we see that Rocco Beck can limit those type of game-changing turnovers, we can see growth in Rocco Beck, and he can definitely lead this team to more victories and more assured victories than what we've seen last year when you had nail biters that came down the clutch. I believe the trophy is coming too, if I'm not mistaken.
Tarts Bowl. Yeah. The last two Pop-Tarts Bowl champions are facing off, so we'll get to see who the ultimate Pop-Tarts Bowl champion is in this game. So that's going to be fun. We move on, and there is, we have the home opener next week in Ames. It's going to be nice. I wish I was there. I won't be there for that game. A South Dakota team who was in the Final Four last year for the FCS playoffs. So they're a really good team. Aiden Bowman is going to be the quarterback. That name sounds familiar because he used to be on the roster, and he transferred from Iowa State to South Dakota, and he's had a pretty good career with the Coyotes. So what do you think in this one?
Yeah, South Dakota does bring a pretty good season with them, going 11-3 overall, 7-1 in the Missouri Valley. Their only loss in conference was to South Dakota State in Brookings, but it took overtime and they only lost by 3. So they can compete with the top of the FCS and looking at their other losses. Lost only by 14 to Wisconsin. Now, Wisconsin isn't this like the Wisconsin that was the juggernaut back in like the Russell Wilson days, but still.
Right.
It was a road game in Camp Randall, so keeping it as close as they did was very impressive. I think this bodes solidly for North Dakota, or South Dakota, excuse me. North Dakota was last season, but I digress. I think this will be a great opportunity for Iowa State to obviously, they're assuming they come off a huge win over Kansas State. This is kind of like one of those games where like, okay, we know we beat our big rival in Kansas State, but we also can't overlook South Dakota, even though we have Iowa coming up the week after. So this could be an opportunity for South Dakota to potentially keep the game closer than it should be against Iowa State. But knowing Matt Campbell, knowing this Iowa State staff, they're going to be focused on South Dakota, and I think they're going to take care of business in the home opener. For sure. And, I mean, Iowa, they're bringing in, like, the Iowa fan base. There's a lot of hype around the South Dakota State transfer quarterback, Mark Gronowski. So, and, I mean, Mark Gronowski is a pretty great, like, he was cooking down to South Dakota State. Obviously, South Dakota State is a dynasty, is a powerhouse in FCS. So no doubt you're bringing in a pretty good quarterback. And I'm curious to see how this Iowa offense looks like in the second year under Tim Lester. I did see some strides when it comes to the offense, but I feel like there's still a lot left to be desired when it comes to the offensive side of the football for Iowa. And obviously we know what they're bringing on defense. So this is just going to be another case where it's two teams that know each other really well. And Matt Campbell, I mean, he has gotten 2 of the last 3 against Kirk Ferentz, but like you mentioned, Iowa State has not won at home since the triple overtime thriller in 2011. So this is a chance for Matt Campbell to cement like he can't consistently win this Cy-Hawk game.
I think, you know, in the second half of last year's Cy-Hawk game, it really, really gave me confidence, especially with Taylor Mauser at the helm at OC. I think we do see Rocco Arid out in this game. And I think we finally break the streak, and I have us beating the Hawks. I think we finally break the streak, and right now we have both have Iowa State at 3-0.
Yeah, I'm gonna go the same, and I think it's gonna come down to Rocco Beck and the tight ends. I think those tight ends could be really crucial in breaking down the second level of Iowa, because that front seven is really like the key to the the Phil Parker defense. Like, that's no doubt. That's been a huge aspect when it comes to the D-line and the linebackers. You know what you're getting out of Iowa when it comes to the front seven. It's just, can our tight ends be able to find holes in the zones against man coverage and win those 50-50 balls against the strong linebackers, which can then open up our wide receivers against what I think is a relatively weaker secondary unit compared to the front seven.
Definitely. Yeah, man. So I do have a question to ask you. This is an interesting question, but this is just a thought experiment. So in the event that Iowa State is 2-1, who would you rather lose to? Would you rather lose to Iowa, or would you rather lose to K-State?
I think in terms of the long-term goal, I'm thinking long-term here. I'd rather lose to Iowa because even though you have the loss at home again to Iowa, it doesn't affect you conference-wise. And I mean, you're still going to have opportunity to win out in your conference. If you lose to Kansas State, you're already behind the eight ball when it comes to conference play at 0-1 before you even hit September.
Yeah, no, I was thinking long-term as well. You know, if we're 2-1, but we're 1-0 in conference and we lose to Iowa, I mean, it's going to suck that we lose to the Hawks again, but like, we'll be 1-0 in conference, and this loss in the grand terms of things won't hurt us. All right, so both of us are at 3-0. So the next week we are at Centennial Bank Stadium in Jonesboro. I don't know why we have these freaking group of five road games. It doesn't make any sense. But we are on the road at Arkansas State. But what do you think?
This is prime for a letdown. I mean, we saw it 2 years ago, obviously, with the infamous game at Ohio, and you knew how much the fans were irritated after that. I remember being pretty irritated as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that day really set a fire under Iowa State, because I remember after that, they came out swinging. And I mean, they were able to salvage a season, which some people thought was going to be really, really bad, because starting out 1-2, losing to your in-state rival and a G5 team.
What's going on?
Hello, hello.
At the fourth game of the schedule, so we are
sure.
We have us at 3-0. So now, right now, we're breaking down Arkansas State.
You guys have us at 3-0.
Yeah. What are your thoughts?
Well, I'll do it quick. Sorry that I joined late.
No, all good.
It's all good.
Ireland is such a big game. It's the sets the tone of the season. I'm sure you guys said that the same thing. All the talking points. Going to be a battle of two really good quarterbacks, two really good defenses. Kansas State has a great offensive line. It's really, this game comes down to, are you mentally ready to actually play the game? Iowa State has proven that they're more mentally ready. This group of guys, maybe in 2021, no, maybe in other years, no. But that team last year proved that they were mentally ready for, you know, difficult stages. I think in the Big 12 championship game, they were so injury depleted that it wouldn't have mattered how mentally ready they were. But this game comes down to who's more mentally ready. Iowa State will be more mentally ready. They win probably by 3 points. I think it's higher scoring than people think. Iowa State wins. South Dakota, that would be a really, really tough game, but I think they pull that one out. And then the Iowa game. The Cy-Hawk game. That's going to be more about getting the monkey off your back, winning at home for the first time in 14 years, and I think they get it done. I think that Mark Gronowski is not the quarterback that Iowa thinks they are, but I'm not even going to, you know, I think he's a nice piece. I think he's a good quarterback, but I just don't know who else they have. They've lost a ton on defense. Kamari Moulton is not Caleb Johnson. He's not even Tyler Goodson. He's not Akram Wadley. He's not those guys. And I know I'm creating an amazing soundbite for them, but he's just not. And I mean, he's not at this point in his career, he's not a third round draft pick. I'll just put it that way. I just gave them an amazing soundbite.
I mean, here's the thing with yeah, you gave him an amazing soundbite, but like I said, like unless like you're the likes of Ohio State, it's very rare to produce very consistent like good running backs. Like obviously, Caleb Johnson is a once in a generational for like a school like Iowa, and I mean they could prove me wrong, and I respect it. But unless you're like the likes of Ohio State, you're not pumping out running backs like the way they have. Obviously, Ezekiel Elliott and Judkins, it's like and Trayvon Henderson even. So it's very difficult to have like that kind of like depth when it comes to running back. I think Penn State last year, they had a pretty solid running back room, but I think it's just difficult to really have like.
I think that this is another hard fought game. I respect my opponent. I think Iowa State needs to respect their opponent here. And if they respect their opponent, but know that they're confident enough to actually get the job done, I think they win. If they win in Dublin, I think they will have the confidence that they need, but also the discipline and the focus that they need to beat Iowa at home. I think they're 3-0. It's going to be a tough 3-0, but I think they're 3-0.
Yeah, I think that Dublin game will tell me whether they would win against Iowa or not, because obviously you're playing your Farmageddon rival, so you're going to have to pull out all the stops when it comes to that game. So that means you know you're going to be scouted by Iowa heavily, but that means that, like, okay, you can't leave anything for secret. You can't be too conservative. So, and you already know what it's like to play a very tough opponent. So having that, like, mentally and psychologically, you've already prepared once for a very difficult opponent. So why not do it again? Why not have, like, that, you know how to prepare for that kind of game?
Yeah, we're going to move on to Arkansas State. And this game is at 3 p.m. We all are at 3-0. What do you guys think? Cody, you go, and then Eric, you go.
I think this one, obviously, like, you're on the road against a G5 school. A lot of Iowa State fans, and I might do it, I'll admit it, the last time we went on the road against a G5 school, we got, like, we basically looked like a worse than a G5 school. We looked like a bottom-tier G5 school in Athens, Ohio. But I think that was just weird circumstances, obviously, off the gambling scandal we had. And I think from that point on, and Matt Campbell's learned this too, like, you prepare for everybody, like, regardless of what stadium you go to, who you're playing, you got to prepare for everybody the same way that you prepare. So I think this might be one of those ones where it could potentially be a trap, and you know the fan base is going to probably bring it up some way, somehow. But I think the players, they're ready to write the, like, they're ready, like, they're going to be mentally prepared. They know they're not going to make the same mistakes that they did, like, two years ago. So I think they'll go in, they'll take care of business, and they'll be 4-0 heading into the bye week.
I mean, I'm not trying to disrespect any of our opponents, but this is one of those where, well, if you're very concerned about this, you're probably not going to meet the goals that you put out for the season. Now, obviously, you take it very seriously. You have to play the game. You have to execute on offense and do all that. I mean, we're 4-0 after this. It's as easy as that. We have better players. We have better talent. We should have better preparation. We should go into their stadium and, you know, it might not be as beautiful as it was last year, but, you know, a 35-14 type game. Yeah.
Yeah, you just got to go out there and just stomp them out before you even give them a chance. Like, you just got to, just from the kick, opening kickoff, you just got to pound Arkansas State. Don't even give them a glimpse of hope, because that's the thing.
I wouldn't be surprised if this looks a lot like the North Dakota game from last year, where we go up a couple scores and just play to get out of there.
Yeah, you try to keep all your players as healthy as possible.
I'm expecting the same type of game, probably like Eric said, 35-14, like 35-17, something like that. So yeah, they go into the bye week at 4-0, and then we come out the bye week. We host our second game of the year, our conference home opener against the Arizona Wildcats. What are your guys' thoughts? Hold on, did you guys hear any of that?
I barely caught it. It's probably my end.
Yeah, try it again, Tyler. I didn't get you.
Okay. No, I was saying we're coming off the bye week, and on the 27th of September, we are going to be hosting the Arizona Wildcats. And then I asked what your guys' thoughts were.
Eric, go ahead.
To be honest, I don't know much about Arizona. But I do know that they have Noah Fifita coming back. And I think he's a pretty good quarterback. But he was a good quarterback under Jed Fish. Their new coach, Brennan. I mean, last year was... That was kind of inexcusable for the talent that they had coming back. The quarterback that they had. The talent that they had on offense. I mean, they had a top 10 draft pick at wide receiver who... He got his, but they didn't really do anything. Coming to Jack Trice Stadium, this is the first time this group has come to Jack Trice Stadium. The place is going to be rocking, especially for 4-0. This is one of those ones where Iowa State needs to be careful not to overlook it and look on to bigger things on their schedule. But I don't think that they'll do that in for this game. Coming off of a bye week has proven to be a little bit difficult for Matt Campbell and his teams. But I'm not too concerned with this game. I think this game ends something like 28-17. Good victory for Iowa State. I think that a guy that I would look out for is Ben Bramer in this game. I'll look out for Ben Bramer in the Kansas State game too. But look out for Ben Bramer in the Arizona game. I think he will have maybe over 100 yards receiving in this game. I don't think they're going to know what to do to stop him.
Yeah, I'm looking at Arizona's, and I don't know who on their defense would be anywhere close to stopping Ben Bramer. Not to mention, you also have the wrinkle of Gabe Burkle, who we saw absolutely grow throughout like the second half of last season. So imagine having to deal with that two-headed monster at tight end. Then you got the wide receivers who we expect like, at this point in time have gotten really acclimated to the roster and the play style of Iowa State. I mean, we talk about Iowa State being off on their bye week coming into this game. Arizona's going to be the same. So both teams in this game are going to be coming off bye weeks, respectively. So both teams are going to be relatively fresh. So that means that both teams have had a chance to really recuperate after the first few games. The state will be coming up, or Arizona will be coming off a game against Kansas State in Tucson. And this is going to be Arizona's first road game of the season because their games against Hawaii, Weber State and Kansas State are all at home in Tucson. So really curious to see how this Arizona team will deal with being on the road for the first time in the season and it being at Jack Trice Stadium. And I'm really curious to see what time they're going to announce this game.
That's Friday?
Yeah, September 12th at 6 p.m. their time.
Yeah, so be prepared to stay up late.
No, we'll be fine because I think it'll be like, what, 7 o'clock our time since it's 6 p.m. Mountain Time for the Battle of the Wildcats.
Oh, it'll be 8 p.m., but like, yeah, but it's fine though. Because
well, I thought you were talking about our game was on Friday.
No. No, we got all Saturday games. We are good.
There's nothing I can't stand more than a Thursday or a Friday night game, dude.
Listen, I don't think the Big 12 would be dumb enough to put like a team that's like as well known as Iowa State and as like popular as they are right now on a Friday game.
I mean, they put us in 2017. They put us against Texas on a Thursday, and I'm just standing there. I was already out of college, but I was just standing there going like, "How are these kids going to class tomorrow?"
Imagine being like a classmate of theirs, and you see them, and you're just like, "Wait a minute." Didn't you, like, I just saw you playing the football game. Did you do the whole, imagine that's the question you get asked as, like, an athlete. It's like, you were playing a football game. Did you manage to do the homework that was due today?
No.
I think one of the things I want to talk about is Ben Bramer and a guy like Daniel Jackson. They're going to be really hungry this season because they got, you know, Daniel Jackson, this is his final year. Ben Bramer, he's got two more years. He's, you know, he only got like less than 200 yards receiving last year. I think he had like 10 receptions, maybe a touchdown or two.
Yeah.
He's trying to improve on his freshman season, but he got hurt too much. He's going to be hungry. And Gabe Burkle is a really, really, really good player. He is. So they're going to be like ones and twos. But like, make no doubt, do not sleep on Ben Bramer. This guy is a... Oh, yeah. Like, he is a freak. Is he going to be the number one target this season? I'm not sure. He could be. But he's a is so talented. His freshman, he's just only going to build on his freshman campaign. Got hurt last season, so he would be a guy to watch out for. You know, we kind of want to keep him secret, but I really think he's going to have a special time in Ireland. Yeah, I think that the Arizona game, it's one of those clean victories, never really in doubt, but we don't really pull away because, you know, it's tough to pull away from a Big 12 opponents, but I don't think it's ever going to really be in doubt because I just think we have much better coaching than them. So,
yeah. So I think, yeah, that puts Iowa State at 5-0.
Yeah, so we're 5-0, and we are on the road at Cincinnati. We have beaten them, the last two times that we faced them. So we are on the road again at Cincinnati. What do you guys think?
We're just going to – are we all going 12-0?
We might go 12-0.
We're going to see. We'll see what happens as we get further into the schedule. But right now, yeah, I think Cincinnati, I just don't feel that impressed about, what they've done in their 2 years in the Big 12 so far. They haven't really, stood out to me.
Hey, but you get guess what, guys? We get to see our favorite player in the conference play. Dante Corleone.
Yes!
Godfather. Dante Corleone.
The Godfather. I love it.
You know what? I said this. I think for how we're going to make the Cincinnati game fun is take a shot every time. If it's Eric Collins on the call, take a shot every time he mentions Dante Corleone, the Godfather.
God. No.
I love Eric Collins. But when I saw Dante Corleone, the Godfather, going to Big 12 Media Days, I was like, this guy's still here?
Hold on, I gotta see his.
This guy's still on the team? Dante Corleone, the Godfather.
I gotta see this. Wait, it says he's listed as a redshirt junior. His freshman year was my freshman year.
My gosh!
What?
He has another year?
He's the same age as I am, but he's turning, yeah. So let's see here.
Wow.
He redshirted his freshman year.
Okay.
So he, yeah.
Take Corleone, the guy.
With all that being said, I still think that we beat them as usual. I think we win 30-13. It's going to be something similar to what the 2023 game was like, but yeah, I think we'll win 33-13, 30-13, something like that.
I think they come back from Arrowhead. Is the new Kansas Stadium open, or is that going to be at Arrowhead this year?
The
Nebraska-Cincy game should be at Arrowhead.
I think the new Kansas Stadium is open this year.
No, I'm talking about the Kansas August game, because that's a game prior to Cincinnati.
Yeah, I think it should be, but I'd have to look at their stadium.
They might go. But yeah, they're going to be coming back from the road. I think that Kansas beats them. I think Kansas will be a little better this year than last year. And I think they come home to try to get a gritty game. This is going to be a tough game. I think this is going to be a lot closer than we think. Mm-hmm. But I just think we have better players. We have better coaches. We've proven, you know, it's hard to beat a team twice. But once you kind of have their number, it's really hard. Once a team has your number, it's really hard to break out of that. I think we win this game, you know, pull away late. I think Carson Hansen has a big day. I think we win something 31-21. 6-0.
6-0, baby. Mm-hmm. All right. And then we are on the road again. But this time we are at a place we haven't gone to in a while. We are at Folsom Field in Boulder. I'm not going to lie to y'all. I think this is going to be a really tough game. This is where I have our first loss. So, unfortunately, I have us losing to Coach Prime and the Buffs. So, I have us at 6.
Okay. What about you, Cody?
Honestly, yeah. If I see one letdown, it's going to be between Kansas State, Iowa, and at Colorado. If there's going to be one loss on this, first half of the season, it's going to be one of those three games. So, if we're 6-0 up to this point, maybe Colorado – Colorado is going to want, they're going to want to upset us. And, yes, Colorado does lose, Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter to the NFL draft. So, I think, that Colorado is going to be, more slept on it. But, you know, the hype's still going to be around the Buffs because of Coach Prime and how Colorado does the post-Shador and Travis Hunter era. This is setting up to be a mix of the perfect like type of upset in the Big 12, and we know how chaos reigns in the Big 12. So I think this is going to be one of those cases where chaos reigns in the conference, and Colorado gets a major upset at home over Iowa State.
If we're 6-0 at this point, we are going to be feeling good. We're going to be hearing the hype. We'll be, you know, a top 10 team, possibly a top 5 team in the country. Deion, I don't think they're going to be doing – let me look at their schedule. Let me try to see what they would be at this point in the season.
I got it, Eric. So they would have Georgia Tech, Delaware.
Okay, they win the first two. I think they lose to Houston at Houston.
At Houston, yeah.
They beat Wyoming.
Wyoming at home.
I think they beat Yeah, I think they beat BYU. I don't know. I don't know what to expect from BYU. I really don't.
Yeah.
I don't really know what to expect from Colorado. I have no idea with BYU. And then they got TCU on the road. I think they're 4-2 yeah. somehow. 4-2. You know, feeling all right about their season. Still hopes alive, but, you know, they're kind of still, you know, they're worried to lose. If we're 6-0, we'll be going in this game going, oh, this is a 4-2 opponent. We just, you know, beat Cincinnati. We just beat Arizona. This is going to be one of the – we're going into a bye week. This one, I think we have the better coaching staff. I think we have better players than Colorado does.
No doubt.
I think their quarterback's pretty good. I think they got pieces everywhere. I don't really know how good of a coach and culture guy Deion is. He kind of cashes in on like getting the big time blue chip players to come buy into his system of just like, you know, swag and all that, where, you know, we don't get the blue chip guys, but we get really good culture, really good talented players to come play as a team. This is going to be probably the biggest test mentally up to this point of the season, even more so than the Ireland game. I think the Ireland game, you know, you have to be mentally strong. This one is one where you kind of go in, you're probably a top 10, top 5 team if you're 6-0, and the guys are going to have to be mentally strong when it looks like, hey, we're better than this team. Because Kansas State, we don't know if we're better than them. But this is a team that we're going to go up against. You're going to be like, we probably think we're better than them. This is going to be a game where if Rocco Beck wants to define the season, is going to be defined in this game. He will have to be mentally strong. He will have to be the one to pull the team up. I think we go down early. I think Boulder's rocking. They want to beat a top 5 team, blah, 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 blah. Caden Salter, whatever. This one is all comes down to Rocco, and I think that we get a win in Boulder and run, like, pull away late. Steal one in Boulder, and we go into a bye week. The bye week also, the position of the bye week, that also makes it difficult. This is more of a mental game than, like, hey, do we have better athletes? And I think that it's so similar to the UCF game last year, where we know we're better than that team. We have a better record than that team. We have better coaches than that team. But we're going into a bye week, and do we take it for granted? Yeah, it's going to come down to Rocco, and can he will the team to win? Yeah. I think he does. I think we're 7-0.
Yeah, I think there's a mix of the UCF game and the Utah game, because with the UCF, the thing was you were at home, so you had the crowd behind you. Against Utah, you were on the road. You were in a very raucous environment in Salt Lake City, so you had to combat that. And Rocco Beck showed that, like, I mean, that he did have the mental toughness to win those two games, obviously in different circumstances, but you still saw the toughness of Rocco. And mind you, that Utah game, Rocco Beck threw a pick six in that game. And then you had the crazy, like, punt block, I believe, that Utah scooped up for a touchdown or whatever. So you thought you were coasting in that game against Utah. Then you had those two plays happen, and Utah was right back in the game. I believe they took the lead at one point. But then you saw Rocco Beck have the mental toughness to go down the field, forget what just happened, forget the pick six, forget the punt block that happened, and go down and execute when the team needed him to execute the most. So you have those factors. That can spell, like, spell Iowa State being able to win late against Colorado, against a very raucous atmosphere. I'm going to assume right now that this will be Colorado's wideout game. I'm going to say it right now. This will be their wideout game.
Yeah, if we're 6-0, they're going to be, you know, fired up to play Iowa State. I hope it's an 11 a.m. game. Well, it probably won't be because they're on Mountain Time, but I hope it's a 1 p.m. game or whatever.
Yeah.
And we just, you know, it zaps the life out of them. We get in, we get out. Thank you.
Yep.
Well, you have a 6-1.
No, I'm thinking I'm going 7-0.
7-0. Okay, yeah. So
you think we're gonna lose? Time?
Yeah. I know. I'm gonna make myself a fool again.
We ain't losing.
We ain't losing, boy. All right. So we go into the bye week, and then we have the BYU Cougars for homecoming on the 25th. Another game I will be at. So, yeah, I mean, before this season or before all the Jake Retzlaff stuff, I was actually really, really excited about this matchup because I thought that this was going to be the Big 12 championship matchup for most of the year until they chucked it away. So, but, yeah.
Well, to be fair, Jake Retzlaff didn't do himself any favors, let's be real. Those are serious allegations. And with BYU being the school that they are, they do not tolerate that kind of stuff. So, obviously, sure Jake Retzlaff had no choice but to leave.
Yeah, and apparently he still might end up in the Big 12 somewhere. But, yeah. But with that being said, what do you guys think? Because I have no read on this game. Really won't know probably until this game comes.
I'm going to take a look at BYU's schedule. I need to see what he's got.
Yeah, I got to look at it too. But I kind of know, you know, we're coming off of a bye week. This is going to be a game against ourselves again. We're in that era now where our team is good enough where half the battle is playing against ourselves. If we come out there, play the game that we can play, because we're talented enough now, especially with who our opponents are. If we come out and play the game the way that we can play it and play it right and execute the offense and fight on the defense, we can beat about anybody in this conference. That's where we are now. If we look at BYU and go, they don't have a quarterback, then we take them for granted, we could definitely lose, especially because it's BYU and weird things happen against that team. Yeah. But yeah, they play Colorado, West Virginia, Arizona, and the week before they play Utah. Mm-hmm. And I think Utah, yeah. I think Utah will beat them. That will be such an emotional high for them. And depending on whoever wins that game, like, they're going to have a letdown game in Ames.
I agree.
We just have to execute, and we win. I think, you know, depending on what exactly happens with their situation, and I do believe that BYU will fight because it's different than going to BYU than it is, you know, most other, like, a team like Texas Tech. Because guys go to BYU because it's BYU and not because of the dollar or not because of the prestige or whatever, the blue blood nature. The guys who go to BYU usually go to BYU because it's BYU and it's kind of like a vocation for them. However, when they see that their quarterback gets kicked off the team and they don't know who the other quarterback's going to be, if they start to lose, like if they lose, and I don't think they'll lose the first couple of games. If they lose at Colorado and then lose to Utah and maybe lose to like at Arizona, there could be some guys going, this is a disaster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm taking
that
a look
game. At their... BYU, yeah, BYU playing BYU after they play the Holy War. It's a game against ourselves. If we come out there play, in especially being an Ames, if we come out there play the game, execute our game plan, boys, we're gonna be 8-0.
You know, I like that. You mentioned the emotion of the Holy War. You have that, but also that's homecoming for BYU.
Uh-huh.
You know, at that double whammy, there's just a lot of emotions. And you know and obviously with the shenanigans that happened last year in the Holy War with Utah's AD and like the athletic department, you know like what they were like talking about. So you knew BYU was probably pissed seeing that. They're like, all right, you want to talk all this about like whining? All right, come to our stadium and beat us. Prove that, like, you want to complain about it? We'll kick your, like, to for BYU. We'll kick your ass again. Like, we'll kick your ass in our stadium and give the crowd a showing for you being whiny bitches. That's just what I think BYU's attitude is, especially in Utah, because the way that the Holy War went down last year. So they're going to pour a lot of emotion into that. And that's just a perfectly for Iowa State. And I mean, last year, similar circumstances, we have, Eric, you and I have Iowa State 7-0 off of bye week, and this is homecoming for them. Similar circumstances to the Texas Tech game. And unfortunately, we saw what happened in that Texas Tech game. But I think Iowa State learns from that game. They learn from that. And they use that to beat BYU, and they Iowa State's.
Yeah, so obviously, you know, I had to lose in the week previous, but we get back on the schneid and we play a hard fought game against BYU, but we move to 7-1.
Hoo-wee!
Hoo-wee! Yes, going into November. I mean, at this point, if Iowa State is 8-0 going into November, like, this November 1st game, this is probably the most anticipated game of the season right here. I think probably besides K-State and Iowa. But this one, like, I think Rocco and the boys, this is the game that they circled on the calendar. The Arizona State Sun Devils, the defending Big 12 champions, come into town. You already know that from other... They have this loss on their hearts right now. Like, they are thinking about this game right now against Sam Levitt and the Sun Devils coming to town with Jordan Tyson. So, I think this game, depending on where both teams are at, this could either... I predict that this is either going to be a big noon game or this could possibly be a college game day game. Who knows?
Yeah, you mentioned... obviously, the loss weighing heavily. And I think this is going to be different. Like, if this was a close loss, I think you can accept, like, you could probably take that, like, you accept that more. It's like, okay, we fix a couple of these things, then we'll be fine. But generally speaking, we were okay in our approach. We just made a couple of mistakes. But when you get embarrassed on national television, that stays with you extra. That stays, like, with you way hard, like, way differently. And that, in your mind, I think... being embarrassed the way you were, the way you basically got pantsed by Cam Scadaboo and the Sun Devils, that's going to make that personal. Like, you took that personally. So there's no doubt that Iowa State is going to be had that game circled. They're going to just, like, people are going to remind them, Arizona State, like, they're going to be reminded of the time, like, on repeat, I bet you, in the weeks leading up to the game and the week leading up to it, people are going to be reminding Iowa State that you got absolutely embarrassed by Cam Scadaboo in Arizona State. You got ran over by him. Sam Levitt had a field day with you. So what are you going to do? And Iowa State will have to prove it. Like, they're going to have to show it on the field how they responded to all the noise.
This is one of those games that this has been circled by everybody. When the players were thinking about what was going to come out for the schedule, they already knew that they'd go to Dublin and play Kansas State. They already knew that, you know, week two, the official week two of the season, they'd play Iowa at home. They knew that. But what they were wondering is, when are we going to play Arizona State? When are they coming? They've been looking at this game all offseason. A star will be born today, on that day. They'll be born. Now, it depends on, I don't know who it's going to be. It might be, you know, Dom Orange. It might be, you know, one of the safeties. It might be a cornerback. It might be somebody on offense. But in order to win, a star will be born. Maybe it's Rocco. But some, like, I know we have a couple of transfers, and we really like what we have in those transfers. But these guys, if you ask all of them, who's the best college football player you've ever played against, I'd guess half of them would say Cam Scadaboo. Cam Scadaboo should have won the Heisman last year. He was so good. So good. I don't know how Arizona State's going to adjust without him. It was kind of like when we didn't have David Montgomery. Like, we were kind of lost in the run game. Like, we had no idea what to do. We had no idea what to do. Cam Scadaboo was ridiculously good. There's nothing we could have done against him. He was so good. Like, I don't know. He got my Heisman vote. There's no question. And I think I have a pretty good NFL career, to be honest. I think this game, like, this is like black unis or white out unis or whatever. We're going to do all of that. I think we get a W just because You know, Arizona State, they do have a really, really good team returning, but I don't know how they're going to adjust unless they find some other amazing running back. I don't know how they're going to adjust without him. Cam Scadaboo being a redshirt senior, I don't know how they're going to adjust without him. He's so good. And I think it's a hard-fought victory going into – oh, no, we're not going into bye week yet. But this is the game we circled for the season, as well as the other two rivalries. But this is the one we're, like, putting our chips on the table. I think we win this game. We're 9-0. We're a top-5 team, probably a top-3 team. I can't wait.
To either him or Jordan Tyson, and obviously he got better throughout the year, but that's going to be the adjustment, is who is he going to turn to when he is in trouble now? Like, that's going to be the adjustment thing for Sam Levitt this year, because he is getting a lot of praise in the preseason, but let's see how he does. I do think that the loss of Cam Scadaboo is going to be bigger than what people think. With that being said, I have us winning this game, and I have us at 8-1. Now, this next week, obviously, I think this game, look at this as the classic Iowa State letdown in M&G Carter Stadium in Fort Worth against TCU. TCU is also getting a lot of preseason hype, thinking that they could be a contender in the Big 12. What do you guys think about this game?
I think TCU definitely are there are some good to look at when it comes to TCU. They look like they're gonna be right in the middle, might be a dark horse. I'm just going down the roster. I think a couple guys to look out for, probably Eric McAllister, Jordan Bailey, and then looks like Josh Hoover's returning, so we might get an improved Josh Hoover at quarterback. And I can look at the rest of the roster. I mean, I'm really I'm curious to see how TCU looks, because I think they had an okay year last year.
This is the worst spot of the season.
Yep.
It's the absolute worst spot. It's a letdown right before a bye week. Mm-hmm. I mean, we saw a similar thing last year where Rocco goes back to West Virginia. That team's all, you know, trying to fight for Rocco to get that win in Morgantown, and then they come home and they play UCF, and it's just a letdown game before a bye week. But this is like letdown before a bye week on steroids, because you just beat a team that you think is going to be pretty freaking good, and you're going into a bye week with two games left. You're sitting pretty in the conference. You're probably like top of the conference, one of the top teams in the country, top 10 team, at least. Well, probably a top 5 team if they're 9-0 at that point. I think we lose this game. If we're 9-0 at that point, I think we lose this game, because it's hard to put together a perfect season.
Yeah.
This is just, it would be the ultimately mentally toughest game to win. Just because you just beat some pretty good teams. You're going to a TCU team that you think is going to underwhelm. And I think that we lose down in M&G Carter Stadium.
Yeah, I'm with you. I have Iowa State's taking their second L of the season right here. So we fall to 8-2.
Yeah, I think the perfect run does end here, because, I mean, yeah, it's primed perfectly for a kind of disappointing game, because, like, at some point, you're going to hit a road bump. And if you haven't hit one already, TCU is the perfect place to hit a road bump.
Yeah, so you guys both have
9-1.
Stadium is awful. Like, they're probably not going to have much to live for.
So why not?
I don't think Josh Hoover's that season. Like, exactly.
I also play Spoilermaker. I mean, Iowa State was kind of that role for a long time, and now I think Iowa State's going to be on the opposite end of such.
It's a weird world to live in, man.
I agree.
I love the world, but it's just a weird world to live in. Yeah, sorry about that, guys. But, so yeah, we go into the bye week. And, man, this is senior day. The last game, and Jack Trice, guys, this is a team the last 3 years who has had our number. We got to get our lick back against KU. What do you guys think about this game?
Yeah, it makes me sick thinking that Kansas is a good football team. It makes me sick. I'm still sick about that 2023 game where Jalen Noll got that touchdown. What would have been likely touchdown called back because he was, but he was still clearly in bounds. That thing, ooh, I think I'm still heated stupid. About that. I'm still heated about that.
Jalen Daniels is still there? Still there?
Apparently, yes. Apparently, yes.
Yes, he's still here.
Let me go check the roster just to make sure.
Yeah, I think they lost some pretty good players on their team. They had a pretty good transfer portal, I believe. Yeah. They've recruited pretty well lately.
Running back room. Let me see if Devin Neal is...
He's gone. He was in the NFL draft.
Okay, so that... Yeah.
Yeah.
Jalen Daniels is still at Kansas.
This is going to be a tough one because it's Kansas, and Lance Leipold is a good coach, but I think that we win this game. You know, if we lose to TCU, go into that bye week, we're going to just be like, hey, guys, we're fighting for a Big 12 championship. We got to put it all on the table. Come off of the bye week, you know, whatever injuries we have, they'll get healed up on that bye week, and we'll play Kansas. Probably be a pretty close game. But yeah, I think it's one of those ones where it's kind of like Cincinnati, where they come in, they put up a fight, they try to put up a fight, but we, you know, we hold them at arm's length and we win on senior day and get ready to go down to Stillwater.
Mm. Yeah, yep. This is. I think we finally get the monkey off our back and we finally get one against Leipold. Yeah, we win this one. Actually, this would be the second one against Leipold because it came with the one. But, yeah, we win. So I have them at 9-2. You guys have us at 10-1. So back to back 10-win season. Let's go, baby. All right. So now this is the end of the season. We are at Stillwater T-Boone Pickens Stadium. We haven't played Oklahoma State since 2023. What do you guys think?
Never bet against Mike Gundy. Last year was a very disappointing year, obviously. But I still am of the belief you never bet against Mike Gundy. Because who knows what he can pull like out of his hat.
I'm sorry, Cody. I'm betting against Mike Gundy. I don't think they don't have anybody on their roster that really is like those other guys. Yeah, I mean, when you played Oklahoma State, they did have down years every once in a while. But they had dudes on those teams. They had quarterbacks. They had amazing wide receivers. They don't anymore.
Yeah.
Clip that. That's another soundbite, I guess. Yeah, they have the guys. When you have that bad of a season, mm-hmm. it's really hard to turn it around, especially in this day and age. Especially, I think it's, to be honest, we will either play a team. We will either play a good Oklahoma State team or we will play an Oklahoma State team not coached by Mike Gundy. That it's as simple as that. And I don't think we will be playing a team that is coached by Mike Gundy. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. You know, when I said like never bet against Mike Gundy, that was under the pretense that Mike Gundy would still be there. If he's not there, we go into Stillwater and we beat the tar out of Oklahoma State. Now I know. I mean, I've watched the Twister movie and the Twister remake last year. No offense, Stillwater, but you're about to get hit with a nasty tornado coming in the form of Rocco Beck and the Iowa State Cyclones, and Iowa State's 11-1 to end the regular season.
Baby, 11-1.
Listen to this. Oklahoma State plays UT Martin to kick off the season.
Yep.
That's probably a win. Then they play Oregon. That's a loss. They play Tulsa. Whatever. Baylor. That's a loss. Arizona, that could be a close one. They got Houston coming to town. I think they lose to Houston. They got Cincinnati coming to town. But then they go to Texas Tech. That's a loss. Kansas, that's a loss. Kansas State's coming to town. I think that's a loss. They go to UCF. depending on how Scott Frost does, that could be a loss. I mean, if they lose all those games, we will not be playing Mike Gundy.
Baby, so, all right, you guys, you guys are at 11-1. I think we win this game comfortably, mm-hmm. So I have us at 10-2. So, yep. We saw last week at Big 12 Media Days that they polled 7 coaches, and they said that the matchup in the Big 12 championship game is going to be Farmageddon again. With that being said, at 8-1, and I have us at 7-2, I think those records will both be good enough to make it to the title game. So, with that being said, who is our opponent in the Big 12 title game?
This is easy for me. This is Baylor. We're playing Baylor.
I like that show.
Baylor, I mean, Sawyer Robinson. If we're talking, I look at who are the best quarterbacks in the league, because those are the guys who likely can lead their team to a Big 12 championship. I think the best quarterbacks in the league are Sawyer Robinson, Rocco Beck, Sam Leavitt. And you could kind of make some cases. I think Avery Johnson could be up there. That's kind of who I have, those four guys, mm-hmm. as being the guys who could lead their team to a Big 12 title game. Maybe Baron Morton, but he has to really improve.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But those are the guys.
Yeah, I think Baron Morton, like in the game against Iowa State last year, he did just enough, but he didn't stand out to me in that game, even though we lost
that.
The
Tech defense that won them that game.
But yeah, the Texas Tech defense really, and I think special teams too, because I think they got a hand on one of Conrady's field goals that ultimately proved to be the difference maker. I think I might also go Baylor.
Okay, yeah, I have. I was buying into the Farmageddon hype, but nah, whoever loses that game, it's not going to be, I don't think it's going to be the season that we think. But I think, with that being said, yeah, I have us playing Baylor. And Eric, me, you, and Cole are going down to this game. Cody, you probably are going to have to.
Of course.
Yeah, we'll see how my last few schedule goes, and also basketball season, because I believe the same weekend that Iowa State, assuming they play in the Big 12 championship, they would play at Purdue.
At Purdue, yeah. Yeah, but I think we make history, guys. We reign victorious. We beat Baylor, and Iowa State is your 2025 Big 12 champion in football.
We finally did it.
So you guys have us at
21. I think that we lose.
Oh, think we lose?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think Baylor at that spot would be incredibly difficult.
Yeah, that is true because
that would definitely be another pain like thing. But I mean,
oh, it'd be painful. Oh, it'd be so painful. But yeah, I think we could.
Yeah. So let's say that we are 11-2. We lose that. Does Iowa State still make the college football playoff?
It depends on what Baylor's record is. Because if they're 12-1, then yes. But if they were both with 2 losses, then no.
So you're saying it, heading into the game, both teams only have 1 loss.
I have Iowa State as 10-2 and Baylor is 11-1.
Okay.
If we are ranked in the top 10 going into a Big 12 title game and we lose close to another top 10 team, I think we make it. For all other circumstances in a loss, then no, we do not make it.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm taking a look at Baylor's schedule here. So they host Auburn in the first game. Then they're at SMU. They host Samford, host Arizona State. They're in Stillwater, host Kansas State, at TCU, at Cincinnati, host UCF and Utah, at Arizona, and host Houston on Senior Day.
That schedule's a little bit rough.
Looking at this year, Baylor's beating Auburn. Auburn is not the team that, yes, they're SEC, but they're not the team that I think some people are going to say they are. I don't think Auburn can match the ability of Baylor. Who's Auburn going to put at quarterback that's going to be better than Sawyer Robertson? Then we'll just have to see how Baylor's how their schedule shapes out to be.
Definitely, guys. So at this point, we're gonna talk about. We're gonna go and say if we're gonna go and look at the like last year we did our top five games nationally. So we're gonna do that again, and then we're gonna go through the schedule and take a look and see what schedules or top five games and throughout the entire season are interesting to us. So Cody, if you wanna pull up your screen, maybe go to ESPN, and then have us talk about that.
Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna take a look at that real fast. Let's see here.
Okay, I'm gonna pull it up too.
Yeah.
Well, to me, it's very simple. I think it's the battle of the national championship.
Yeah.
Whoever wins that LSU Clemson game on the first week, I think that's going to be your national title winner. Whoever wins between LSU and Clemson, I think they win. I think whichever quarterback wins that game is going to win the Heisman, and whichever team wins is going to win the national title. Period. That's what I think.
In week one, I see it. Yep.
In week one. And yeah, I mean, that week one is ridiculous. You got Texas, Ohio State. You got Auburn and Baylor that Friday. Oh, yeah.
Let's see.
You got Alabama going to Florida State. Is Florida State already done? Have they already mailed it in?
I hope so. I can't stand Florida State.
Yeah, for obvious reasons. Let's see. And then take a look. Utah, UCLA.
Who else do we?
I mean, I'm being sicko, but I'm curious to see.
Yeah, Texas, Ohio State.
Yeah.
Who else do we got? Oh, here's a big one. Giant one. Iowa and Albany. Riveting!
Riveting.
Good God Almighty, the almighty Albany. I really just think, like, God, the almighty Albany Great Danes are coming to town. We better be prepared for this tight Ted's match.
Get ready for some Great Dane football.
On FS1.
I'm putting Wisconsin on upset alert on week one. They're playing.
You didn't mention this, Eric. Notre Dame, Miami.
Oh, yeah.
On that Sunday? Boy.
It's going to be an amazing week. It's an amazing week of
amazing
football.
Week one, and then we get Bill Belichick's college football debut that Monday.
Ohio wins this game. I think they beat Wisconsin week one.
Oh my God. Is this going to be more embarrassing than when Notre Dame lost to NIU?
Oh.
I mean, realistically looking at it, I think Notre Dame had like higher aspirations than Wisconsin.
Yeah, they were in the national title.
Yeah. Well, that was in hindsight, but in week two, everybody was hitting the panic button because they had lost to NIU as a 28.5-point favorite. Like, I was looking at Notre Dame Twitter after that, and they were hitting the panic button. Panic buttons were hit not just by them, but the entirety of the national media.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to make my choice, and then you can make your choice, Cody.
Yeah.
This is going to be an obvious one, but I'm choosing Texas, Ohio State. Texas, Ohio mm-hmm. State, both of these teams are going into new eras. Like, I believe it's Julian Sane that's going to be starting for Ohio State. And then we have the Arch Manning era. It has finally begun. Arch Manning coming in as a starter. Texas, who lost to them in the semis in Jerry World.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to be looking to give OSU revenge at the horseshoe. So that's my pick.
Eric?
He chose LSU Clemson, right?
I mean, yeah. This is the national title game right there.
Yeah. I think Alabama, Florida State for me.
Okay.
I'm going to be like, I said, I'm going to admit it. Like, does Florida State find a way to rebound from a terrible year, or does to Alabama standards, 9-3 was a very disappointing year. You know how mad Alabama fans were when they got omitted from the college football playoff against SMU. So I'm really curious to see. You got two fan bases who are very like on different ends of like the seesaw, but they have the same mentality, like they're in the same mindset, but just on two different ends.
Yeah, I'd love to see Alabama go 9-3 so their fans can blow a gasket again. It was funny.
And lose to a mid, like a bottom.
Yep. What if they like lost to like Mississippi State? That'd be hilarious.
Oh my god. Oh no. You would have thought that Dak Prescott donned the Mississippi State jersey again for a day.
He got killed because he was playing those legendary defenses when Dak was there. but yeah, what are your guys's? What's your number two choice, Eric?
Michigan and Oklahoma.
Let's see, is that week two?
It's week two. Is that at the Big House or is that at OU?
I believe it's at OU.
Ooh wee! In Norman. Oh yeah, that's a good pick.
Okay. For me, I'm going the border war. KU Mizzou. Give me the border war.
Ooh. Okay. Okay. So you guys are going through it within the first few weeks. All right. I like that. I'm going to give me a second. I'm going to take a look. I'm going to look down the schedule. So for me, I'm going to go down and we're going to go down a few weeks later. We're going to go to week three. For me, I'm looking at this week. And yeah, I think Eric, I think you know what game I'm going to be looking at, but this is going to tell me a lot about this team. You already know, or I think, yeah, you already know which game I'm picking. If you already know the other team I'm a fan of, Florida has gotten a lot of hype this offseason about being a dark horse. This is where they could possibly prove it. Like if Florida goes on the road and beats LSU, I mean, this is the start of a tough 5-game stretch for them. I'm gonna give you guys that 5-game stretch. After hosting South Florida at home in Long Island, they have at LSU, at Miami, Texas, at Texas A&M. So that 4-game stretch, this will be the start of that tough 4-game stretch. So if they start and they beat LSU in Death Valley, man, watch out.
Okay. So we're going to game number 3, correct?
Yes.
All right. I guess, like, since I have this one in mind, now I know as much as we're an Iowa State show and we hate Iowa, I think this Penn State traveling to Kinnick Stadium. I remember the last time that Penn State traveled to Kinnick and the craziness that happened in that game. I believe a top 5 matchup, 2021. And this can show me, this can prove whether Iowa, like this could be a potentially star-making moment for Mark Gronowski. If he plays well against Penn State and they find a way to beat Penn State, that can cement.
That's supposed to be a Big Ten favorite, yeah.
Yeah, that creates some chaos in the Big Ten, but also can legitimize Iowa as a potential contender to make it and be a legitimate one because they're not playing like these like low tier Big Ten West teams because we no longer have divisions in this comp in the Big Ten. You can get a star making moment for this game out of Mark Gronowski.
I don't want that anyway. So I'll pick I'll probably go with Penn State at Ohio State. November 1st, two teams that are fighting for a national title.
My thought process, Eric, is you got to give Iowa fans a little bit of hope. You got to give them a little bit of hope. Maybe give them that win, and then you bring it back down to reality. No. Fair enough. For me, I think I'm a sicko. Like, I would want them to like get hope and then just see them crash down reality. I think.
Love that.
Fair enough.
No hope.
Fair enough.
November 1st is going to be a hell of a slate, man.
Oh, yes.
Especially with that and then Arizona State, Iowa State. Yeah, that's going to be an insane slate. I am going to go with a lower key game. This game is on September 20th, but I think this game is definitely going to shape the Big Ten race. I think it's going to. I'm picking my third one. I'm picking Illinois at Indiana. Both these teams last year, I mean, historically, if you look at both Illinois and Indiana, both of these schools are basketball schools. And Eric, Indiana is near and dear to your heart because your brother and sister went to Indiana and they went 11-1 and made the playoff last year. Illinois went 10-2 last year. Like, in a bizarre world in the NIL era, Illinois and Indiana are now, like, good football programs, and I don't know what to do with that, but I do think that whoever wins this game, especially if Illinois wins this game, I believe either in one of these the next few weeks they host Ohio State at home, so this could really, really push Illinois to maybe be a dark horse to make it to the Big Ten championship game. So that's my third pick, Illinois at Indiana. Fourth picks, everyone?
If not, he's gone. Oh, it's a good. All right. Anyways, I guess for my fourth pick, I'm going G5. I'm going to the American Conference, and I'm going with Tulane hosting Army.
Good pick. Very, very good pick, man. Yeah. That does Tulane get their revenge?
Yeah, they had a little, but also I think this shapes up the American race very nicely because Tulane, Army, and Memphis are among the teams that are vying to be the conference champion of the American. So that Tulane Army game is going to shape up the American conference really nice.
No, I agree with you, man. I am gonna look later on in the year because I know for mine. We're going to look down and see. So for me, my fourth pick is going to be the Red River for me. Because even though, like, this game is now a 2:30 game, this game used to be 11 a.m. That's the SEC for you. I want to see Oklahoma is going to be interesting because now with John Mechir and Arbuckle coming to there, I want to see how Oklahoma does. Is Oklahoma gonna rebound and maybe be respectable, maybe like 8-4, 9-3? And now Texas, you know, coming into the SEC the first year and just an overtime period away from almost winning the conference in the first year. This game might mean a lot more than last year's game. So I give me the Red River rivalry at my number four game.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. So for my final pick, I'm going down all the way to rivalry week, and I'm going with the game.
Michigan, Ohio State. Yeah.
In the Big House. Game. Yeah, Michigan, four years in a row, has beaten Ohio State. Does Ohio State finally get that win again?
Because, what, it's what, four in a row?
Yeah, four in a row for Michigan over the Buckeyes.
What that would be, yeah, that would be a huge win for them. I'm going to take a look at, you know what, I'm going to go in conference for my last one.
Okay.
I'm going to say BYU at Texas Tech for number five. That's going to be an interesting one. And I think this is really more on the Texas Tech side because Texas Tech has notable games. They have notable games against Texas Tech. They have notable games against K-State. And if they can beat BYU and beat either one of those three teams, if they can do that, maybe, hold on. 1 second. Yeah, man. And I think if this is could be a game to where this is late in the season to where if they can really, really prove themselves to be worthy of all the money they spent, because I think for them, anything less than not making it to a Big 12 championship is a failure for them. I think for Tech, this is going to be a game that sort of like defines their season. Like, is Texas Tech what they said they were in the offseason?
Will the money talk?
Yeah. Well, what is the money going to talk? Like, you spent the bread, but was it a return on investment? So that, I think for me, that's going to be the thing. But yeah, we're going to try to send Eric his last few. He got kicked for some reason. I don't know why, but I'm going to send him a email so we can get him back in the show. But, man, like, you know, with those five, I'm excited to see what Eric has for his five. But I think, you know, it's going to be a great season, man. I do think that with as much as everybody, like, talks about, like, the negatives in NIL, I do think it has even the NIL has even the playing field, though.
Yeah, and I think now it's just like once the college football season is coming, like once it starts, we're not really going to be talking about the off season because the college football, like it's here.
Right. We're like almost what, 40 days now? It's crazy, yep. Bro. It's coming, man. But lastly, I wanted to talk about, you know, I guess for me to end the show, like for you, what, 1 second. Sorry about that. Sorry about the technical difficulties, you guys. We're having weird connection errors tonight. Apologize for that. But I think for me, like, one thing I want to ask is what...
More definitely. Looks like we're having a lot of issues here towards the end, but and of yeah, course, just a very long episode. I'm very surprised just to
I am so sorry about
see
this.
Where this is gone. We're almost like an hour and a half, so if you're still here, if you're listening to us, then thank you very much for putting up with the chaos that is live streaming VOD. Yeah. The other guys don't show back up. You can find me at Matt Cable Impersonator. I'm mostly talking about pro wrestling right now. I mean, I was just watching AEW's All In show. Oh, there's Tyler.
Sorry about that. No, so basically what I was asking earlier, I was asking you, what would warrant as a successful season? Like, we went through the prediction, we went through the schedule. What would qualify as a successful season for you?
9-3 is the floor.
Yeah.
And I would like for a bowl win as well. Like, we got to win our bowl game too. If we're 9-3, we have to win our bowl game. That's the absolute floor for this squad.
Yeah, I'm not going to cap, bro. Yeah. I think 9-3 is definitely the floor.
There is a world we go 12-0 in the regular season, but the ceiling is definitely 11-1.
Yeah. I think there is a world we go 12-0 this season. And the thing is, if you would have told me that like 5-6 years ago, I would have looked at you sideways and I've been like, dude, there's no way that we go 12-0. But now, talking about it, 12-0 doesn't really sound that crazy. Obviously, all of our haters are going to be like, 12-0, what do you mean? Nah, like it's actually, if things break our way, obviously, in those type of things, you sort of need luck to go for some undefeated seasons. But there is a realistic way where we could win all the games. And now we're at a point to where, like Eric was saying in some of the game descriptions that we went through, is like, we have the talent now. It's just, are we tough enough mentally? So I think that is going to be the thing right there that is going to define the season. So I think with that, we are going to end today's show. For all the sickos that are still on here, man, thank you for... This is a well over our usual time, but thank you guys. This is our scheduled prediction. So obviously, this is going to be one of our more longer shows of this year. But thank you guys for tuning in to the Believe in Iowa State podcast. A few things before we go. We are a top 15 sports podcast in the state of Iowa, nominated by Feedspot, and we are also a top 50 most listened to podcast overall in the state of Iowa. So thank you, Feedspot. Thank you, state of Iowa listeners. Thank you, everyone who listens to and watches the show. Also, don't forget to like and subscribe. Like it says on the screen, like, subscribe, and enjoy. So we want you to do that. Find Cody on Twitter at Matt Campbell Impersonator. Cody, what are you talking about these days?
Yeah, I think I mentioned it a little earlier while you were off the stream, but I mentioned talking about AEW's All In show that happened over the weekend. So yeah, talking about pro wrestling. We're on the road to SummerSlam. It's like,
let's go.
We're coming up on that pretty soon here. 19 days away, so I'm very excited about that. And then once the college football gets closer, we'll be talking about that a lot more. So just really holding me over. Yeah, so those would be the main things to look out for.
Definitely. Yeah, you can find me, Tyler, on Twitter at SciTyGuy. Yeah, for me, one of my favorite college football podcasts I recommend is the Solid Verbal. Right now they're doing conference previews. So when it's conference preview season on the Solid Verbal, that's when you know that the season is not too far away around the corner. And I believe they'll be doing the Big 12 preview tomorrow. So, I'm excited to see what they have to say about Iowa State. And lastly, find us on social media. We are active on social media on Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram. So for Tyler Carter.
And for Cody Vanciello.
This is the Believe in Iowa State podcast. Roll Clones.
Go Cyclones.
Hold on. I'm